tweet at Today SOR.
My next guest faced every parent's worst nightmare when her three-year-old daughter Eslin was killed in a road traffic accident in March 2017 in County Clare. Amy Dutil-Wall's husband Vincent, who was travelling in the car at the time, is still recovering from his injuries. They're urging bereaved parents to consider organ donation when tragedy strikes. This after little Eslin's organs were used to save two other lives. Here to tell us more about this is Amy Dutil-Wall. Amy, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. It's just 2.5 years, and I'm sure there isn't a day, an hour, maybe half hour that goes by you don't sort of think about your lovely little child.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you so much for having me today. This is a massive platform to be able to share Eslin's story. So I'm very honoured to be here.
And she was named after your favourite poet and author, E. Cummings. Yes. Tell us a little bit more about your child.
I was always into literature growing up, and he was sort of my favourite poet. And the middle name Eslin, I thought it was very feminine sounding. So I knew if I was going to have a daughter, she'd be named Eslin. The husband would have no say in that. So
yeah.
She was a little firecracker. She was very strong-willed. It was her way or the highway, basically, all of the time. She loved music and dancing and crafting and painting and drawing and just all those things that little girls are into.
Now, the 15th of March 2017... A normal day it began?
Yes, yeah. So that was just 10 weeks after I gave birth to our second child, our son Mannix. And my husband had kind of let me have a bit of a lie-in that morning and got Eslin ready for school and brought the baby back up to me and off they went. And about an hour later, I got a knock on the door and that's when I found out everything had changed.
Now, there's a criminal action pending, so we're not going to mention anything at all about the crash itself or the circumstances, but there was the fact that paramedics worked in Eslin on the side of the road to stabilise her.
Yeah. So it was actually, it was one of those just crazy coincidences that the first few people on the scene, it was my husband's GP and two of his close friends, one who is one of his best childhood friends. And so it was three people that knew Vinny and Eslin really well right away, trying to do their best. And the GP did an amazing job. He did CPR for somewhere between 30 or 40 minutes before the paramedics they ended up giving her a shot of adrenaline and that got her heart started.
Yeah, and while Eslin was transferred to Temple Street in Dublin, Vinny was being treated in Limerick. I mean, that again must have been extremely difficult for you.
Yeah, so they both arrived into Limerick together, Eslin by helicopter, Vinny by ambulance. That's where we were told that Eslin's injuries were fatal, but that because she still had a pulse, they needed to put her on ICU, you know, on life support in ICU, and the only way to do that was obviously in Temple Street.
And at what point during her treatment did the question of organ donation then come up?
So it would have been after we arrived into Temple Street and they had got her set up in a lovely room, and they brought me in for the first time, and I was brought in with Vinny's two older brothers who live in Dublin, and we sat down together, and there was a massive team, loads of doctors and nurses and consultants and all that, and they sat us down and kind of did a more thorough explanation of her injuries and that, you know, they're just was no fixing it. It was definitely a fatal injury, and that's when one of the doctors said, you know, in these cases we do have the option of doing organ donation if that's something you want to think about. And I said yes, let's do it.
You that was your instant reaction, was
instant
it?
Instant reaction, yeah.
And so how did events take their course after that?
Yeah, so at that point they kind of contacted the organ liaison officer who sort of does the consulting between hospitals to find matches and that sort of thing. And it ended up being on me to make the decision because she couldn't actually be diagnosed as brain dead. She still was showing just tiny signs of brain activity, which the doctors couldn't really explain because they said she should be completely brain dead. So it ended up having to be my choice when to take her off life support. So we kind of decided to coordinate with, you know, let's let them figure out if are there matches, what can be donated. And once all that is coordinated and ready to go, that's when we'll make the decision to take her off
life
support.
And matches were found for which organs?
So for her kidneys and her lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her heart wouldn't have been suitable because she was in cardiac arrest for so long.
Now, one of the things that added, obviously, to the trauma and grief of all this, Amy, was that you weren't able to talk to Vincent about this.
Yeah, so he also suffered traumatic brain injuries and he would have been put into an induced coma once he arrived into Limerick. And he was in that coma for just over a week before they started to kind of wean him off the medication, and he slowly woke up. I think he opened his eyes a few days after Eslan's funeral.
Yeah, and it was some time before you were even able to tell him that Eslan had died.
Yeah, because, you know, when someone wakes up from an induced coma after a brain injury, they have no idea who they are, where they are, what's going on. They can't speak or communicate in any way. So we kind of had to give it a fair bit of time before he was starting to ask the questions. Why am I here? What's happened? What's gone wrong? And he had all these different theories, and the doctors eventually said, okay, he's kind of using up a bit too much energy trying to figure out what's happened, so we think it's time that we tell him.
Yeah.
And that would have been 5 weeks after the crash.
Before he was told his little girl had died.
Yeah, 5 weeks.
And I suppose your concern then would be, is this going to cause a setback in his recovery?
Yes, we had absolutely no idea. I had kind of met with a psychotherapist that morning just to go over the possible scenarios of how he might react and what would that be like for me if he had no emotional response, or if he absolutely lost it and started, you know, tearing the room up or whatever, you know. And that was a really good way to just kind of settle into the fact that, okay, today's the day. He's going to join us now in the after.
Yeah, and the going back to Eslan, obviously you had a decision to take and you said, okay, take her off life support. She did nonetheless leave an impressive legacy for a three-year-old, helping two people thanks to your decision. Just tell us about those people.
Yeah, so we found out, I can't remember how long afterwards, but we found out afterwards that both of the transplant surgeries had been successful and her lungs had gone to a little boy in the UK. I think he's around the age of 7. Well, at the time he would have been 7, so he'd be a bit older now, who had cystic fibrosis his whole life. And, you know, he would have suffered from it very much. Mm-hmm. Like he couldn't really play much with his siblings. He wasn't going to school. Like, and then her kidneys went to an adult male who was in his 60s, who had been on dialysis for a very long time. And he was actually a writer in film and television. And we received a letter, you know, a thank you letter from him. And he said it was the most important thing in his life he had ever written. And that had such a massive effect on me hearing him say that.
Yeah. And do you know how those patients, those recipients, have been faring out since?
I'm not sure would we be informed if anything had gone wrong. I don't know. But, you know, that's the last we had heard from them, that all was well, that they had both recovered really well from the surgery and were living their lives and doing very well.
And one of the points you wanted to make is just to appeal to people, be prepared to do the donor, to take that decision.
Yeah, I think, I've said before, you're going to find yourself in a situation that you weren't expecting to be in. I mean, these cases are from accidents and, you know, things gone wrong.
Yeah, I mean, a trip from Ennistymon to Aina to the crash.
Yeah, we did it every day, you know, a few times a day to take her in and pick her up, and there was never an issue, and that day there was. And then, you know, there we were in a position where there was nothing we could do for Eslan. There was no hope. There was no changing that fatal diagnosis. But there was something we could do for other people from that. And I think most bereaved parents would say there's not a lot that really helps you after you've lost a child. It's just a horrific experience. But I found that being able to donate her organs and knowing that, like, her life brought life to other people, it's such a massive point of pride for me. This little four-year-old is a superhero, literally, and it's just fascinating to know that you know, her life has brought life to others.
And meanwhile, your life, apart from the loss of your little girl, has changed completely because you and Vinny were running a business together.
Yeah, we used to run a picture framing business in Ennistymon. It was doing really well. We ran it together, and my husband Vinny is an artist. You know, we went to art school in Limerick, and we loved the work. There's loads of artists and whatnot in that area, in Clare and the Burren and all that. So we had a really good business, and it's literally been closed since March 15th, 2017.
And how is he now?
So Vinny's doing really well, considering, you know, his original prognosis was quite grim. But he just recovered exceptionally well. But the effects of his injury are much more subtle. A lot of people probably wouldn't even realize he has a brain injury, but he has, you know, memory issues, and he isn't very good with multitasking. He gets lots of anxiety out in public. His social life has really suffered since, and he has, you know, tinnitus in an ear, and his left side is numb sometimes, and it's, you know, there's loads of different things that he would never really complain about, but that he suffers with every day.
Yeah, and is the outlook one where he might be able to resume work at some stage in some kind of
tasks? We really have no idea. I'd say the work that we were doing before would be incredibly difficult now, particularly something like picture framing. I mean, you're measuring something down to the millimetre, and that is just really difficult work when you have trouble concentrating. So we're not sure. We're kind of in no rush. Like, we're just trying to kind of get through the day-to-day at this point in our lives, and that's something we'll you know, deal with
and
as
now
time
you,
goes
you,
on.
You also have a 2.5-year-old, I think.
Yes, yeah,
who's
Mannix.
Keeping you busy.
Yeah.
And that's obviously something that, you know, it was such a transformation that, you know, the family was there, there were the four of you, now three, and how's he getting on?
Yeah, so there was the four of us for just those 10 weeks, and, you know, it's such a precious period of time looking back on, and Eslin, like a lot of little girls, was just such a little mammy. She wanted to do absolutely everything, bathe him and help feed him and change his nappies and all of that, and she just was fascinated at having a little brother.
You won't be surprised when I tell you, Amy, that we've got a lot of wonderful texts. A beautiful thing to do in such tragic circumstances, says Stephen in Kilmacud. I received my gift of life in 2011 of a new liver. Like that little child, will always be grateful to my donor and their loved ones. Sean, your guest Amy sounds so strong after all she's been through. God bless her, says Declan Monaghan with a tear in my eye. He says, another one, I remember that tragic accident so well, and as we frequently go to Clare, I think of this beautiful little girl whom we didn't know and of her mother who's amazing, willing her on, says Maeve in Ennis. Sean, can I thank your guest for her kind gift of organ donation? I am sure that the recipients are forever grateful, says Seamus. So there's huge goodwill out there, but meanwhile you've got the day-to-day just getting on with things.
I mean, we are very blessed, I think, in Ennis Diamond. We have such a lovely community of young families just like us, and a lot of them kind of, you know, blow-ins like myself. My husband's from Ennis Diamond, but obviously I'm from the States, and people from all over the world that live there and have started their families. So we've all kind of become a very tight-knit family. And so the support from everyone has been incredible. I don't think we would have made it this far without the friends and family that we have there.
Well, look, it's been great talking to you, Amy.
Thank you, Sean.
Continue to be strong and find the resources that you need to keep that way. And best luck to Vincent as well in his recovery. Amy Dutrell-Wall, thank you so much indeed for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.